Well, hello, Peter. This is Michael Crichton. This is Mostly Folk Fun and Friends on 94.1 Whitehorse Boroondara Community Radio, and I'm talking to Peter Ellis today. Peter has just put out a brand new CD, released a new CD called Quadrille Mania. Peter, tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got involved in quadrilles.
Well, some people will know me, of course, through the folk scene. I've been involved with simply ordinary dancing, old-time dancing to start with, and the music involved with it, going around the districts, my home area around Bendigo, and then I joined the Wedderburn Old-Timers Orchestra in 1979 and travelled extensively with them. And through going around country areas and that, I was able to speak to some of the older MCs and dancers and musicians about the type of music that used to be played and the dances that used to be performed out in the bush. And that caused me to start collecting the tunes, and I formed our own dance club in Bendigo, which is now called the Bush Dance and Music Club, to get the dances going. And of course, as soon as we started that, we needed to get the music. So then I formed the Emu Creek Bush Band, and we got the music going for a lot of these old dances.
So I know you've been collecting for many, many years, and I know that you've been involved in books. This is not your first CD, but perhaps for the benefit of our audience, could you explain to them what a quadrille is? I mean, we can't sort of hold it up to the microphone so they can see it, but perhaps you can explain it.
Well, a quadrille is a square dance, and it's not an American square dance, although the American square dances evolved from the old quadrilles, the same as our dancing in Australia did. They go back to towards the end of the 18th century in France, where their rooms for dancing, in England they had very long rooms, assembly rooms, great long rooms where they could do long sets for as many as will. In France they didn't have that same facility, the rooms were squarer, so they readapted the long sets that had come from England and put them into square formation and called them quadrilles. And then they were based on the older country dances, and they sequenced, say, four or five of their favourite country dances in a row to make up one quadrille. So the original one, which is also known as the first set, has got five distinct figures. So you dance one figure, which is based on one country dance. And it actually has the original name in French, excuse my accent, will be Le Pantalon, which is based on the fact that men were just starting to wear trousers instead of knee breeches at the time that the quadrille came in. The third figure is named La Poule because the original music sounded like the clucking of hens, La Poule being the French for hen or fowl. So they go back very, very old, introduced into England about 1812, 1815, along with the waltz and later the polka. So they were really the ballroom dances of the 19th century, and they were taken up basically immediately in Australia, you know, being a frontier country looking for anything new from the homeland. And they percolated out into ordinary society, out into the bush, and by the folk process, they really became the folk dancers of the bush over a period of quite some decades. So that when you come to the 20th century, I mean, nobody much knew the history of them, but they were just danced by ear. They were no longer courtly or organised in the way that they would have been in those early days, but they were just danced for fun.
So is it a rectangular shape that people dance in, the quadrille idea?
It's a square. It's a square shape, yes.
And how many couples would be in a set?
Well, normally there's four couples, and a figure is usually danced four times, not always. So the first couple will lead it off, and there's certain sections where everybody, they swing partners, as it's called, and they'll all be swinging, and then the second couple will go through it, and it's followed by each couple in turn. In some of them, like the Lancers, there's certain figures where all people are dancing together at one time, and then the third figure is called the basket figure because they all link up into a big circle and whiz around like a merry-go-round.
So do all quadrilles have five different figures as part of the quadrille?
Not necessarily. Many of them are about five figures, sometimes six, but There are also some that are only one figure. Some that are popular in the folk scene are revived ones, and the simplified ones, but like La Rousse Quadrille or the Nine Pins Quadrille, which has got an extra person in it. You know, the one that the Bushwhackers done, the Drongo.
The Drongo.
And there are a number. There's the Scottish Eights and Reel, and there's the Irish Sweets of May. And the Sweets of May has a number of sort of figures within it, but that's danced continuously right through. Whereas generally in the ones that we do, there's a break between each figure.
Right. The quadrilles, that information that you've collected here, are they specific dances that you, and where did you find them?
Well, they were still, I was fortunate that in my area, particularly out in the country districts, there were still at least two of the quadrilles still danced in the 1960s and 70s, and in fact still in some areas, and that was mainly the Alberts. Five figures, the first three are in 2, 4 or 6, 8, and the last two figures in waltz time. And the waltz cotillion was the other, which is a single figure one. And they were still danced regularly, even at ordinary Saturday night dances, which in those days they were called a 50-50 dance, which was every second dance was what they called modern. Well, you know, that was the foxtrot, which came out in about 1914. You know, you'd have a Pride of Air and a foxtrot, a barn dance, a modern waltz, and so it would go on. But once in the night, they might put the Alberts on.
Right.
And you'd still get that done.
My experience with trying to do the Alberts is having a nervous breakdown trying to remember the five different
figures. Yeah, well, usually in that situation, in the country, they don't worry. They're not as fussy as they are in the folk scene, you know. The folkies are a bit used to having to learn everything.
Yeah.
In the country, you just got up and you weren't sure of it. You went fourth couple, so you had a chance of previewing what was happening.
So tell me something about the music in these. Is there special tunes, particular tunes?
Well, yes, there's a broad range of tunes that were used. Now, on the first two double CDs that we put out, you'll find that the Wedderburn Old Timers and Gay Charmers, two old time bands, and they'll play mainly popular tunes of the day, like Swanee River or Red Wing or When the Saints Come Marching In, something like that. But if you went back two or three generations, you'll find that there were musicians in the bush. The likes of old squeeze box and fiddle players, and Harry McQueen, who was a great source of information for me, he had quite a number of tunes that had been handed down through the generations, and these, they possibly were popular tunes in their day, nobody really knows, but they don't know the names or anything, so we just named them after the person who played them. So Harry, he learned off an old squeeze box player, and Bill McGlashan. And Bill McGlashan's father was a concertina player. Well, there's two or three unknown tunes, so it's McGlashan's third figure of the first set.
Right, yeah.
Or Harry McQueen's set tune, you know.
It's not uncommon for the Irish to do that with tunes, name them after.
Well, that's right.
So-and-so's jig or...
Yeah, and you'll often sometimes find the same tune in another area and it's got another name.
Well, we might take a break there, Peter, and play one of the tunes off Quadrille Mania, so that our audience can have a listen and get an idea of what it's all about.
Yes, well, the one that I'm going to suggest to you is the second figure we used for the Lancers. There's two tunes there, and one is from Joe Camini in Harcourt area. Harry McQueen put me onto that tune, and those in the folk scene will recognise the first part. They'll think Rates of Mallow is coming up, and all of a sudden it'll be different. And we don't know whether it's a different tune in its own right or whether he's forgotten the second part of Rakes at Mallow and put something
else
in.
Made it up. Yeah.
And the other one with it is The Mill Belongs to Sandy, and that came from Nariel. And Con Clipple played it differently originally. And the Nariel band have played it for a long time. Their first section is the same as Rakes at Mallow too. But on this you'll find it's a little bit different. And we found an old reel-to-reel recording of Con Clipple. He made it up to send to a radio show back in the 60s to see if people knew the names of any of those old tunes, and that one's on it. And I said to Keith, that's The Mill Belongs to Sandy, but his first section's a bit different. And Keith said, yeah, I bet he altered it because we couldn't play it.
All right, we'll take a breather there then. Thanks, Peter.
No worries.